you all and how good it is that we can gather together today on Ash Wednesday and observe this special day in the church calendar and reflect on some words from Scripture and sing together and turn our hearts to God in prayer as well as we seek to begin these 40 days that lead us to the sorrows of Good Friday and the joy and the celebration of Easter. As we do begin this time of worship, we'll do so with an opening prayer. So let us turn our hearts to God together. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you in prayer this afternoon, and we come with gratitude. We're thankful for this place and for the ministry of this church and for this tradition of starting the season of Lent with the practice of receiving ashes and reflecting on your word to us in Scripture. So as we gather today, as we turn our hearts to you in prayer, as we offer you our songs, as we reflect on Scripture together, and as we receive these ashes, a symbol of our mortality, we ask, O God, that you would be present with us. May your Spirit be here to speak to us your living words, and may your Spirit touch us through this experience of touching and receiving these ashes. Be with us, O God, and bless us this day and all 40 days in the season of Lent. So all of this we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first scripture passage is the story of our creation, where we first in scripture hear that we are formed from the dust of the earth. So listen now to Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we acknowledge that we are formed from the dust of the earth and that the life within us is a gift given to us from God, so let us join our voices together and we'll sing the song, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, which you'll find on the song sheets that you received as you walked in. Thank you. Our next scripture passage is from Genesis 3, verses 17 through 19. This passage comes after Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree which God had forbade them to eat, and God explains to man the consequence for his sin. And to the man God said, "Because you have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it." That was God's command, "You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your face, and you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." In the creation story, we find an explanation for our death. God made us from dust, from the dust of the ground, and because we chose our own path, because we chose to leave God's path which leads to life, to dust we are destined to return. Ash Wednesday is traditionally a time to reflect on this message. It is a time to acknowledge the curse that our sins have destined us towards, the curse of death. We are formed from the dust of the ground, and because of the curse of death, to dust we are headed. This is a message that we find elsewhere in the scriptures as well. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 30 says, "All go to one place, all are from the dust, and all things to dust return." And Psalm 90, verses 1 through 6 says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, 'Turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers." Of course, the full breadth of the Christian message is not contained in these Old Testament reflections on our dusty destiny. The authors of the Old Testament were grappling with the reality that they saw before them. They saw that humans died and returned to the earth from which they were formed. As Christians, we know that God has revealed more than just our mortality, more than just the reality that we were formed from the dust and to the dust we return. God has, through Christ, given us hope of new and everlasting life. Though we might go to the grave, which is our destiny, God has given us hope that through Jesus' empty tomb, that though we return to dust, we also have hope of glorious new life, like the glorious life into which Christ was resurrected. God has, through Christ, given us the hope of glory and everlasting life. We will sing again the song, "Just As I Am," "Just As I Am," and we'll sing verses 1 through 4, all four verses. Thank you. next lesson comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." This is a famous passage from the book of Jeremiah. It's a passage that we often remember fondly. In the time of Jeremiah, it was a word of comfort, though not the kind of comfort that we often hope for from God. Israel was facing the impending defeat and destruction by the hands of the Babylonians. If Israel was understood as the pottery on God's wheel, God was announcing that God viewed the work as spoiled, and God was doing something about it. Unfortunately, at that time, it meant being conquered and being brought into exile by the Babylonians. Still, this passage does have a message of comfort within. Yes, Israel would be spoiled. It would be thrown, note the pun, Israel would be thrown into exile. But God was letting them know that their time of exile didn't mean that they were out of God's hands. Yes, they would be thrown into exile, but God remained the potter, and God remained able to work on them. God remains able to work on us. God is able to work us into something new. My friends, we all face the prospect of death. We understand what the psalmists sang and proclaimed. We understand that to dust we shall return. But God reminds us that we are never so spoiled as to be free from the care and the reforming power of our potter's hands. God has promised to work on us. God has promised to make us into something new. So we will turn again to our song sheets and we'll sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." We'll sing all four verses. Thank you. passage comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 6, select verses. Jesus, teaching his disciples, said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, who disfigure their faces as to show others that they are truly fasting, or as that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. God reminds us today through the gospel passage that we have an active role to play in our reshaping, our repotting. God can form us and fashion us. And Scripture commends us to do what we can do to conform to the work of the potter's hands. Yes, God can intervene in our lives in dramatic ways if we get off course. But God doesn't necessarily want to have to do that. God wants us to be engaged in the repotting and the reshaping process. In our passage from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus assumes that his disciples will engage in spiritual disciplines. He assumes that his disciples will be engaged in prayer and giving of alms and fasting. Jesus assumes that we will engage in spiritual practices to keep ourselves in the reframing, refashioning, and reforming hands of God. We are made from the dust. Because of sin, we are headed towards the dust. God's desire is to give us new life that ultimately will come in a full and final way someday. But in the meantime, in this chapter of life that God has given us to live, we can help God refashion our hearts through spiritual practices. If you come forward today to receive ashes, I don't want you just to receive these ashes as a sign of death's inevitability. Instead, I want you to also receive these ashes as a messy sign of God's continued work in and through your life. I want you to receive these muddy, dusty ashes as the fingerprint of the potter's hands. For my friends, the potter is still working on each and every one of us. So receive this sign of the cross, this thumbprint of dust and ashes. Receive it as the thumbprint of the potter who is still working on you. Wear this mark today as a sign of your commitment to stay on the potter's wheel and to help in the process of your refashioning. Receive this sign and do so with a conviction and a promise that you will take part in the refashioning of your life. All those who wish to come forward now are invited to come and receive the ashes. You can receive it as a cross or a sign on your forehead, or if you prefer, put your hand out and I'll put it on the back of your hand. So, Gracie, if your side wants to come first and then the rest as well, and just come right up front.
Dust you were formed, into dust you shall return.
Thank you.
From dust you were formed, into dust you shall return. From dust you were formed, into dust you shall return.
Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for this sign of the ashes and for this tradition of Ash Wednesday. As people of faith, are grateful for opportunities to come before you corporately in worship, individually in times of personal devotion. And we're grateful for the variety of the messages and the perspective that you give us through our worship services and through our traditions. We acknowledge today the sometimes difficult reality that we were formed from the earth, and until your Son returns, returning to dust, returning to ash, returning to the earth is our destiny. We pray, O God, that in this time between life's beginning and life's end, that you would continue to reform and refashion our hearts. Be for us the potter, O God, and help us to always acknowledge, as we acknowledge our mortality, help us also to acknowledge your work on our hearts and your work in our lives. As we move through this season of Lent, we pray that you would bless the spiritual practices and the devotional activities that we engage in. Bless our times of worship, bless our times of prayer, bless our times of reading from your word, bless our times of study. Whatever spiritual practices we engage in, O God, we pray that you would use them to refashion and reform our hearts and our lives. Be to us the potter, O God, and work on us to make us your children. We give you thanks again for this time of worship, and bless us, we pray, as we go from this time as well. So all of this we pray. Amen. We'll sing a closing song, the last one in your packet, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. We'll sing the three verses and the refrain after each verse. Let us stand as we sing. Thank you. Go now in the peace of knowing that you are, and we all are, in God's hands. We are in the Father's hands. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace. Amen.